Welcome to Manifest, to a very special teaching. We're going to show you some secrets that are in an Israeli village in Israel. We have combined three special secrets into one program. You're not going to want to miss this. So stay tuned for the Manifest telecast from Israel at the Talmudic village in northern Galilee. It is going to be a tremendous program. And then at the end, stay with me because I have something very, very special that I want to share with you at the conclusion. Okay, on the Peristome YouTube channel today, we're at the Talmudic village, which is in the northern part of Israel. And my guide, Yossi, is with me. And I've asked him to describe, this is copied after an ancient olive press. And I want you to keep in mind while he's talking about the crushing of the olives, how this works. Keep in mind the anointing, which is the presence of God working through a person that manifests the power of God in a person's life. This is how Jesus did miracles, of course, was through the anointing. How the prophets prophesied was through the anointing. And it's connected to the olive oil. When the oil was poured on their head, the Spirit of God came on them. And so tell us about the press, because you've been here many times and I haven't. So you're the master at this.
Okay, so the first part of baking the olive oil is to go to the rolling stone, which you see over here. The olives have been picked out from the tree and they put here under the rolling stone. Any kind of power, animals from human being are moving it and moving it. I can actually do that. Here.
This is what Samson did.
Yeah.
They tied him up. So the olives go here, and then this crushes
here,
it.
Here, and the stone is pressed completely into a mush, which has been collected into a basket made mostly from date palm leaves. And then they've been taken, and they've been put here, one on the top of the other. And when they're standing,
so the mesh is put here with the olives. Okay.
Right. Or on the stone itself.
Yeah.
By the way, this is the reconstruction of the instrument, but actually the stone, its original stone.
Mm.
Right? One of the stone that was found here.
Oh, wow.
So that's been here, one or the other. And then you push this, and it's pressed, and the oil comes down here and spoils into the net to collect it.
Now,
that is one way.
Right.
We have another way, which is over there.
Let's walk over here.
Which is done in almost in the same way, by just a different pressing thing. You take the basket with the mashed olive and you put them underneath. And then you have the right here on this stone, which is original stone of it, right?
Mm, wow.
And as those are original stone of the weight, right, they were found here. The only thing that's been restored, it's only the wood. You bring it up, right, and then you start press it. This is all press over here, and the oil comes inside, underneath, and it's been recollected later on when the work is finished.
You know, I read somewhere that in that day that they could get four pressings. The
sure.
First was actually used at the temple for the menorah. It was the
just
holy.
That's right.
You could also use that first for the anointing oil, the sacred oil.
Absolutely. We call it the virgin olive
yes.
oil till today. That's the very first pressing. It's the most pure olive oil that you can have. Hmm. The very, very first one, right? It doesn't affect by any other environment or anything like that. So that is the first press, and that is for, first of all, for the menorah, for the internal light of the seven branches menorah, which is the presence of the Spirit of God, and of course for all the anointed.
Yes. Then you had, if I remember right, it could be used for medicinal purposes, it could be used for cooking, and it could be used for, there was four things. I wish I had my notes here. There was four things
I'm,
that was used.
I'm in your notes. So yeah. The first one, The first one is the anointed one, yes, and the most one. The second one is, when it's pressed, it's still, again, quite pure. And that is the one that used for our salads, for cooking,
for the food,
all that,
yes.
Right. The third one, the olive oil, is a little bit heavier from using for those purposes. So we use it to make soap.
Oh.
And we use it for women, moisturizers, and cream.
Okay.
All right.
That'll work.
And the fourth one, which is quite heavy, it used for light and for warm.
That would be the light in the little olive, I'm sorry, oil lamps.
Yes.
Oil lamps. Okay. That was the fourth one I was thinking.
Like that. And I see that as this four pressing, the touching every section of our life.
Oh, that's good.
Holiness, food, clean and beauty, warm and light.
That is good. That's great. Now, one of the things I want to tell you is when you I preached a message years ago and got a lot of comments on it, on the price of the anointing. And we went to an olive tree and we talk about how, first of all, the olives, once they get ripe, have to be shaken and they fall onto a mat and they're collected. And then, which means they're separated from what they're familiar with. So when you're anointed, you're separated from others. Sometimes you can't do what other people do when the anointing comes on you. Sometimes you have to live a different lifestyle when the anointing comes on you. So you're separated from what's on the tree. And then the crushing comes. And of course, that's the pressing he's talking about there. And I did this whole thing on the cost of the anointing. And I said, if you want to know what it costs to be anointed, ask an olive. And so I won't go through the whole process of... He just did that for you, the crushing and the pressing. So let me just conclude by saying this, that if you ever see a ministry, a church, singers that really carry an anointing, don't ask them how many victories they've experienced. Ask them how many battles they've been through. Because I can assure you that people who carry an anointing have been crushed most of their life to pay a price to get where they're at. And sometimes people will attach themselves, and I think, what was it, Jeremiah Johnson, honey, that said that? Pam read this today in the room. Jeremiah Johnson was writing about how some people on staff and leaders will connect with the head leader, and they kind of coattail them, and they kind of ride that coattail. And so they get blessed because of the coattail of the person who's being crushed. So here the leader is being beaten and crushed and dealing with the criticism and everything, and they don't have to deal with that, but yet they get to experience the blessing of it. And so always remember that if you see people that have an anointing, I will guarantee you there's a price to pay. Just like the olive had to be crushed to get the oil out of it, you have to go through a crushing to experience the real anointing of God that changes the lives of other people. So, Yossi, thank you. That's my little, I call it my little Christianese sermon there. He does the Hebrew side, and I'll give you how it connects, perhaps. And I appreciate Yossi. Yossi's a great guy. He's been with me a long time. Here in Israel from the 80s, actually, till the present day. So he's with us, and I appreciate this. Again, is the Talmudic Village. If you ever get an opportunity, it's a great tour. It shows you a lot of what it was like back in the Roman time, back in the time of what we call the New Testament, the time of Christ. And so we're going to kind of tour around. We may have some other videos that we do from here. Thank you, Yossi. That was great. Thank you so
much.
You're
welcome.
Okay, Perry Stone YouTube channel here. And you know, we used to come to Israel and do our manifest telecast from here, but we had to take cameras and stands and a team to haul it around with a wagon. Now we're doing it through an iPhone, which makes it much easier. And so what we're able to do is, instead of post-editing all the time, my cameraman, who is Charlie Ellis, he will leave me and then go to the object I'm talking about. And this is so great. You have no idea how great it is to be able to do it this way. So Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 1, goes into the signs of the destruction of the temple. Then it goes into the signs of the time of the end before Messiah returns. Then it goes into the time of great tribulation. And when I say it goes into that time, it passes through a period of time that takes you all the way to the return of the Messiah, when in Zechariah 14, he comes back on the Mount of Olives. Now, also chapter 25, there were no chapter headings when Jesus spoke. That was put in later when the scriptures were put together. Matthew 25 is the parable of the 10 virgins, and you have what's called some of the parables of the kingdom. One of the interesting things you read, and when you read this in our culture today, people have no idea what you're talking about. Two women would be grinding at the mill. one would be taken and the other left. Now, I personally believe that is a rapture verse because the word taken there is the same Greek word where Jesus said he would come and receive you unto himself when he would return. Same Greek word there. So one woman is suddenly missing and one remains, and that is when the Lord comes. You know, the living who believe in him are suddenly changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So that's what I believe it refers to in Matthew 24. But I want to show you this because I want to show you two things. The large rock that you're looking at here that's connected to a large pole is called a millstone, and it was a stone that was used to grind. You could grind grain, but you could also grind olives. This particular one is kind of an olive press. Now, Jesus said that do not offend a little one. It would be better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and jump into the sea than to offend a little one that believes in me. Look at the size of that millstone and imagine a rope around it and around somebody's neck. You're going to go to the bottom. There's no way of floating with that. And so that's interesting. So you're looking at a genuine old millstone. And when Christ talked about tying the millstone around your neck, if you offend a little one, that's what he was alluding to, was something of that particular nature. So that's point one about the millstone. And by the way, there were times, according to early historians, when capital punishment, you know, capital punishment today could be the gas chamber or electric chair, but capital punishment for some crimes was to tie a millstone around your neck and for the Romans to take you out. I think it was the Romans, it may have been the Greeks, it was one of the ancient empires, and they would throw the person literally into the sea. That was a way of death. So Jesus was just saying, don't offend the little ones who believe in me. So let's go back to this, because two shall be grinding at the mill. Amanda, I want my daughter to come over here and just do this so they can see how this works. She's Sister Samson. Look at her. She can push it. So that's what they would do. So they would grind with the grinding stone or the millstone. So two would be grinding at the mill, and suddenly one would be taken and the other left. This is what it would refer to in Matthew 24 when Christ was alluding to that. So let me talk to you about this. Someone said, now that cannot be a verse for our day and our time. That had to be a verse from centuries ago. Jesus must have come years ago, or maybe the coming of the Lord is metaphorical or allegorical, because people don't use these today. I beg to differ with you. People today use grinding stones. Those are two flat stones. They're usually about that size. One has a handle on top, and you put the grain in between, and you grind it like this. They have holes in the middle with the pole. You lift them up, you put the grain in there, and you grind them. It's called grinding by hand. They do that. Places like Afghanistan, some of the rural places in Pakistan, rural areas, still do this to this day. There are places, believe this or not, where this, they don't have the factories. Now, Canada and America, Europe does, but in the rural mountainous areas of the world where they still ride on camels or donkeys or horses, they use primitive objects like this to this day. I did some research on it, as a matter of fact, and found I was shocked that the number of countries in the mountains where olives are grown or grain is grown, where they still use these type of things in the villages. So that verse, where two shall be grinding at the mill in Matthew 24, could happen in different parts of the world where people are working during the day. One more nugget I'm going to give you about the return of the Lord, and that is that it says that two will be sleeping, one will be taken and the other left. Two will be working, one will be taken and the other left. That's a real revelation, because that was spoken in the Roman period, you know, right around the first century. And, you know, back in that day, who knew that half the world would be one time frame and it would be dark in one part of the world and it's light in another part of the world? So there will be a part of the world where people will be asleep when the Lord returns. There'll be a part of the world where people will be working when the Lord returns. And so these are the kind of things that, to me, I call them mini nuggets, or not mini, M-A-N-Y, but M-I-N-I. Many nuggets that make it very, very interesting. So this is very interesting, and I appreciate you joining. Just subscribe, give it a thumbs up, and we would appreciate that, and keep watching. Welcome to the Perry Stone YouTube channel. We're in Israel. We're in the Talmudic village, which is in the northern part of Israel, and it is a village which actually looks very much like the cities or towns would have been in the Roman period. And when I say Roman period, you'll hear me say that a lot. That'll be before the birth of Christ. After the birth of Christ, it'll be up to the 4th and 5th century of the Roman Republic, the Roman Empire, and so forth. So this is a beautiful setting with all of the old, actually some of these stones that you see here are from this area. They are from here. millstone and some of the other things. But let's concentrate on a vessel. Now, these type of vessels, you know, we're going to have, maybe by the time you see this, it will be there, but there will be a Holy Land Relic Museum in on the property of OCI in Cleveland, Tennessee, with thousands of actual relics. And some of the relics that we have are clay vessels. And clay vessels, as you know, were made on a potter's wheel many years ago. And the book of Jeremiah talks about the potter's field, which was located in the city of Jerusalem. And it talks about how the potter was making a vessel, and he was watching the potter on the wheel as the wheel would begin to spin. He would begin to mold that vessel with his hand, but it was marred in the hands of the potter. And so what a potter would do, and my wife and I were, and she's over there, by the way, but my wife and I were in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and there's a place that makes pottery. And I remember the guy would make the clay, and it would be, Pam and I would laugh, it would be so perfect, and he'd just stop, and he'd just smash the whole thing. I'm thinking, what'd he do that for? It was perfect, but see, where I was looking, where I was viewing, it looked okay. But as he's watching the wheel, he's realizing this is off a little bit. He's realizing this side over here is off compared to this side, or it's unbalanced. Or maybe he felt something in there like just like a pebble. I'm going to use that as illustration. So as his hands are molding this, ooh, and that's not good, as he goes to fire it, it could have an effect on the vessel when it goes to the heat. So it could be a vessel that's off center. It could be a vessel that's not balanced. There could be something that so in other words, he just smashed it. And this guy did this like three times. And finally, hey, finally, clap your hands. He finishes it, and he takes this wire, and he removes it, and he gets it ready to put it in the kiln and fire it. And so this was similar to what they did back in that day. They made the vessel, they would put the handles on it, and then they would put it in what we call it a kiln, but they would put it through the fire, and they would bake it, and that's what gives it. Can you feel that? Hear that? Yeah, can you feel that? Like everybody on YouTube can feel that, sure. So it gives it that. Now, I heard this. Someone will ask me, because I get a lot of emails, where did you get the story from? And this is the story I'm going to tell you that's fantastic about a broken vessel. And it came from Dr. E.L. Terry. He was a mentor of mine. He had an earned doctor's degree. And he was just knowledgeable in everything. And so he talked about the seven vessels of the Bible. And he got to talking about what was called the broken vessel. And that was the vessel that had a crack or a break in it. So if I were to take this vessel and I were to fill it with water, it would hold it. I see no cracks at all in this clay vessel. If the vessel, however, someone were to throw a rock against it and crack it here, it would begin to leak, either if it was olive oil or if it was water, if it was any kind of liquid, if it was milk, for example, it would slowly leak out. So watch this. The joy of the Lord is not out here, it's in us. The peace of God is not out here, it's in us. The righteousness of God is not something in the atmosphere, it's in us. So what causes the joy to leak out of us? What causes the peace to leak out of us? And a lot of times what we see and what we hear can cause the joy and the peace to leak out of us, all right? But what about a vessel that's really broken? Somebody that really goes through something, it messes up their life, that vessel is a broken vessel. They're broken in mind, they're broken in spirit, they're broken in their heart. I mean, maybe it's someone that passed away, maybe it's because they went through a divorce, maybe they lost a family member that died very prematurely, and it just really messes the vessel up. Well, whatever it might be, and let's say it's a crack that comes in your life, because there's cracks that can come in vessels through disobedience or through sin or for what we call backsliding or turning away from the Lord. So E.L. Terry said this. Here's what they would do. When you got a slight flaw in the vessel, instead of throwing it away, you could take a tick. There was a certain kind of tick. And my friend Rhonda Davis in Cleveland actually researched this when she heard me preach it, and she found the name of the tick. And you get this tick, and some of the times these large ticks would attach themselves to a lamb or an animal, a farm animal, but a lamb. Keep that in mind. So they would pull that tick off of that lamb, they'd find them, and they would crush it and get the blood out of it, and they would mix it with the clay. Now, if you just mix the clay itself and you try to put the clay in here and have it dry, or, you know, maybe refire a little bit, it doesn't work. It's like a road that has a pothole, and instead of doing the whole road and fixing it, they take the tar and they put it in the pothole. What happens about 3 months later? The hole reappears. So what happened is the blood from that lamb that was placed in the crack of that vessel when it was refired, it would seal it. So that blood was the key to sealing that, with however that was done through the atoms or whatever is in the clay, but it would seal it so that it would seal the crack and it would not leak out again. Now, once again, Dr. E.L. Terry did the research on that and began to share with us that story. So what makes this interesting, if you really want to know what makes this interesting, is think about it coming from a lamb. Think about the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12. Think about the lamb's blood of Christ and how that blood applied to our vessel. We are dirt. We are from the earth. We are clay. And how the blood of Christ applied to the clay seals the broken vessel. Now, I don't know about you. That's pretty neat. That's pretty neat. So then the vessel is able to hold whatever God puts in it because it has been sealed by the blood of the lamb. So I thought you would enjoy that. And let's just walk around here for a moment. This is again, the Talmudic Village. This is some great teaching. We did three special teachings from the Talmudic Village. And so we appreciate all of you that join us on the Peristone YouTube channel. And we want you to subscribe to the channel. Now, this is important. This help. What do I mean by helps the algorithms? When a lot of people watch this and they give it a thumbs up, I don't know how it works. It goes into a computer and it stays up for more people can see it. So always say thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. If you like what we're doing. Now, if it's thumbs down, ignore it. Never put a thumbs down. But if you like it, just keep putting the thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. It does help the algorithm. And please always remember, we want you to subscribe because we're trying to reach a lot more people. And the second thing is we always have a special resource that we're going to make available to you at the end. So keep watching. I just want to thank you for joining me. And don't forget, we have a lot of teaching from Israel, Holy Land teaching with Perry Stone on the YouTube channel. And you're not going to want to miss these because if you love to learn, you're going to learn a lot with each one of them. Thank you for joining me today from the Talmudic Village in northern Israel.
Many have asked for it, and here it is. Globally recognized as a leading Bible teacher, Perry Stone has recorded vitally important teachings in his series, The History of the Bible. With 11 teachings, this 4-DVD set will teach you how 40 men received the revelation found in the Bible. Perry will discuss topics such as, have the scriptures been altered throughout history? What 7 ancient methods did God provide to bring His Word to mankind? Did you know the Bible quotes from the books of Enoch, Jasher, and the Assumption of Moses? Perry also explains why the Bible is set apart from all other religious books worldwide, how the Bible was received, recorded, and translated. He also discusses the various translations, the rabbinical and Christian methods of interpretation, and 8 literary styles found in Scripture. Details of how numerous prophecies prove the Bible is inspired, including medical and scientific facts. The missing books that are named in Scripture, the War of the Lords, Jasher, and the Book of Jehu. Why Catholics accept the 14 books of the Apocrypha, but most Protestants reject them. Many strange idioms and expressions that you need to understand. Why the Torah was dictated directly from God's mouth to Moses' hand. Rules to know when reading and interpreting the book of Revelation and other apocalyptic scriptures. How amazing archaeological discoveries in Israel have confirmed the Bible is true. How the early pilgrims used the Geneva Bible due to their conflict with England. Perry will also reveal his personal methods of studying the Bible when he writes his books, prepares his sermons, and the Bible translations you can trust. The 4 DVDs, over 6 hours of teaching, are available for a limited time for a special price of just $65. Call us toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or order online at perrystone.org. This package is also available as video on demand from our website. Additionally, you can write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and enclose your gift of $65 or more to request package offer HB-148. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Hey, by the way, this will be a very important time for you to get our new products, product offers that we have to help keep Manifest on the air. Now, I have a fire hydrant. Oh, it's so heavy. Well, it's really not because it's styrofoam. Isn't that amazing how they cut that out and they paint it and it looks very, very, very authentic. Well, what is this about? We have so many props that we're not able to show you because they're in storage that are a part of the brand new children's outreach. Now, this town will be named. and the ministry started through this will be named. We're going to produce skits, plays, videos. We've got some things that are so secretive that we can't let it out. Here's the reason why. If we let it out, somebody will jump on it immediately and they'll take it. And it's something that the Holy Spirit gave us by revelation and told us to do. So we're not saying anything about it, but there will be a lot of teaching, very powerful, fun teaching for children to learn the gospel. We're going to show them relics from the Holy Land. They're going to understand history of the Bible. We're going to give them things that are practical to their life. We're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of skits. There's going to be characters that are being invented. We have artists designing our own characters, and that's a part of the secrecy of what we're doing. So all of that is being planned right now, and this will be the final time I'll be telling you. I don't know if we can turn and walk a little bit with this set. This one is about to be painted. This one is about to be finished. And again, we have props all over the place in this area. And so we're now preparing the studio. This is what we need. We need a studio made here for taping. We've got to have a few cameras, some equipment, some editing equipment, and sound equipment. And I'm going to ask many of you that have watched Manifest for 21 years or longer, this is a brand new project. We've never come to you asking you, if you feel led, to help us with the project. We just don't do that. You know that. We just offer a product, basically. But if you'll help us with maybe a one-time donation, we're going to apply 100%. If you say children's outreach, children's ministry, to purchasing. It's a lot of equipment that we've got to get. We have to pay. You know, artists are not free. We pay them to do the work that they do. And there's a lot of work that is involved in getting this ready and having it ready to go. Even the taping and the camera people and so many things. So I wanted to make you aware of this and give you just a little taste of what's happening. I have 3 grandchildren, and all 3 of them come to my house. They're doing art. They're telling stories. They're up singing. And I watch them glued to secular TV watching some of these children's programs that are very simple. I'm saying, Pam, why are we not doing this and taking what God has taught us and teach this to the youngest generation so that if we can get them while they're young, locked into the things of God, then when they're older, they will not depart from it. That's our goal. This will be one of the last projects I believe God's going to give me before the return of the Lord. So thank you for praying for us, standing with us. Pam is doing great. The family's doing great. I'm doing great. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit PerryStone.org for more information.